Look at
what
me.
Is going on, everybody? This is Roster of the Burbank Misfits, and you're listening to the Misfit Effect. And of course, I am always joined with my wonderful co-host, CW.
Hey, I'm here.
Today we have a very awesome guest for you today. We have Kimber Haven today, and like
Kimber Haven.
You want to say Heaven, and you're like, wait, no, that says Haven. That's what
amazing guest, Kimber.
Amazing.
Like what he said happened. I was gonna say Heaven. I'm like, that's not Heaven. Haven. Kimber Haven.
You only had a month to prepare for the interview, baby. It's okay.
Yeah, only a month.
No, I had it written down, and I read Heaven. It said Heaven talked to my mind.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I read like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hey, you're off to a good start. Out of 73 podcasts, I've messed up on two names. You don't leave me alone.
Oh, you barely got my name right. Let's see if you can do better for now.
Let's do this. Run it back. Run it back, Raw Star.
Okay,
here Let's try that again.
Really? The whole thing?
Ready?
Yes.
So what's going on, everybody? This is Roster of the Burbank Misfits, and you're listening to the Misfit Effect. And also, here's my co-host, CW.
Hey, today, you shouldn't even edit this.
I'm not.
Why you call yourself after a lame ass fucking TV network, man?
Oh, those are my initials.
Those are the initials.
The CW sucks. Maybe if you were 14.
That's the initials though. It's just short for
CW because it's me. I've been described as a lame 14-year-old though.
Oh, so you're lame vanilla entertainment? I get it.
Oh my god.
Pretty much.
Oh wow. And we have Kimber Haven.
He got it right.
She used to be a cage fighter, a bodyguard.
Before you start naming all the accomplishments, man.
Okay.
Shit.
She is a former.
That's yeah.
Cage fighter, yeah. Not cage fighter, but yeah. Also, she was a celebrity bodyguard. Her dad was a hitman.
Now I'm like my arms.
My dad was a hitman. Don't talk shit.
Her dad was a hitman, you know.
My dad's long dead, though. He's not going to kill nobody. He's already dead.
Okay, that's good. We can talk about him because, you know, I don't want to
talk about him. He's dead. He can't do shit.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm sorry.
I want to hear the origin story.
Let me hear this. Well, first off,
thank you for joining us. Well,
Kimber
I got bit by a radioactive spider, and then I got tranny powers.
Well, that's usually how it happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, one day you're straight and you're this big alpha male. Next day you get bit by a radioactive spider and you wake up and you have tits.
I have lost my diploma.
That's why they call us trannies. It's transformation. There you go.
I have lost my composure. I can't get it back. Oh my God.
Well, don't fall down again. Fuck.
Oh my God. Yeah, that hurt. I was on the phone with CW when it happened, and he didn't even hear it. He
missed the bed. I don't know what that meant.
I was putting my arm down so I can rest on it, you know, just get the weight because I was walking around it because I was sweeping, and was talking to you and sweeping, and then I missed the bed. Like I put my hand on the bed and I missed it.
He's having a bad day. He misses the bed. He can't pronounce my name right. He's having an off day.
One of those days right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fallen and he could barely get up.
I barely could get up.
Life alert. We talked about getting him a life alert.
Seriously?
Not really.
I'm the old person here.
Hey, I'm disabled.
That shit.
I'm the disabled one you see running around with a camera at events. Saying, let me take your picture. Then I get over.
I'm disabled. Look, I'm a guy with boobs.
No, I mean for some people
that's a disability, right?
No, that's a benefit because you know that's people love that. So
which kind of people?
people who enjoy TS porn or
even maybe some sexy black man watching right now.
Mm. All kinds of a lot of people. You be surprised, bro.
Yeah.
So or this, you wouldn't actually. Now.
No.
Yeah. Now at this point, I'm never surprised anymore.
Yeah, but I have a small market share. Yeah. I've been a little bit successful, a little bit.
No, you've been nominated for many awards, and
too many.
I'm saying one.
In particular. I'm a fucking living legend.
I see one in particular that you were nominated for, and I'm wondering if you were actually at that event, because if you were,
Which one?
2017 Urban X Awards.
I was there. Yeah. So I was wearing a white dress. Yeah.
We actually crossed paths then that year.
You know how I got there, right? You know how I got nominated by Urban X Awards, right?
Oh, no. So please do tell.
Well, because I'm known for my interracial content.
Well,
because I love me some black man.
Because I work with the Urban X Awards. That's what I do. That's the main thing that I do in the documentary is I work with the Urban X Awards. So I do a lot of the stuff that people don't see also.
How could you miss me? I'm like 7 feet fucking tall.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't know you back then, though.
Yeah, but you at least if I walk by, you go, God damn, that's a big bitch.
I mean, like, I don't...
was I there?
Probably.
Yeah, I probably was like, damn. Yeah, I probably was.
No, like, because I think in 2017, I had him doing photography on the red carpet, depending on where it was at.
So that year, Sunshine Monroe won, and then she turned around and fucking retired a few months later.
So I think I
remember.
I don't remember.
She retired and talked shit about everybody in the business on her way out.
I mean, I guess there's things that happen, but what that seems to happen a lot on the outs when somebody's on, there's some people that's like, fuck this whole entire thing.
Wait till you hear the shit Trump says when we kick his fucking ass out.
That's
it's
true.
Always those disgruntled motherfuckers.
That's true.
You are fun. You are really fun.
So. How did you start
open book.
In porn?
How did I start sucking dick and taking cock?
Yes.
I retired. I was 40 years old, and I retired from executive protection, being a bodyguard. Okay. And I started camming because I was home bored because I did well for myself. I had a good career. I was set. I didn't have to work. So I was camming just to pass the time and having fun. And people told me, you should do this professionally and you should make money, because I was doing free cam shows on Adult Friend Finder. So I went to Chatterbait and I started doing cams there. And then I, Wendy Williams, I don't know if you know who the porn star is. Wendy Williams lives here in Kentucky. And she had heard about my cam show because it was a big variety show with celebrity impressions, comedy, sex stuff. And it got really popular. So she watched it, and then she invited me to come to a gathering she was having and to have a talk. And then we talked, and she wanted me in adult entertainment, and it ballooned from there. So my mentor was Wendy Williams, before she got to be like 400 pounds.
Wait, I'm missing something here.
You're the wrong Wendy Williams, probably.
So,
not Wendy Williams, a talk show host. Wendy Williams.
When did you get boobs?
Porn star. These things?
Yeah.
What boobs? What boobs? I don't know what you're talking about. I got these about 6 years ago.
Oh, so you were, 4 years? 4 years in?
Okay. I transitioned at 39 years old.
Yeah, I was like, I guess that's what I was getting to. So before you retired.
Well, I retired at 40, so I started doing hormone therapy, and when it started to become noticeable, you can't really be in executive protection and you know, your clients won't have confidence in you. So after it started getting noticeable, I decided to retire because I was going to retire at 40 anyway. So I did it a year before to start prepping. But yeah, so.
Wow.
So I was just bored at home, retired, living the good life. And that's how I got into porn. This is like my second career. And then my second career took off. And then I became like famous and shit. And for a second
we are.
Yeah, because I used to be completely unknown for doing it. Now people know me for it.
Well, you must be good at it.
Haven't you seen?
No, but maybe I'll watch.
You need to DM me on Twitter. I'll send you all sorts of videos. You're the right color.
Well, thank you. I like my color.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being born that color.
You gotta thank my parents.
Okay, do you want to know why?
I'm sorry. Kevin, you keep making me lose my anxiety.
Why? People say they like why, and they never say why.
Black guys realize that white girls like them, but they don't realize why. And the reason is because they don't understand that they completely fuck differently than a white guy. Because they've never fucked a white guy, they don't know the difference. So yeah, black men fuck aggressively, they're verbal, they're alpha males, they know how to lay the pipe, they know how to fuck. A white guy wants to fucking make love. And that shit just doesn't do it for me. I want a guy who throws me down, fucking owns it, and takes that shit. And black men are aggressive and they're manly and they're dominant and they're verbal and they get into sex and they fuck. And girls love that shit.
I can't, for myself, I cannot disagree as being a like nice guy, pretty passive guy in my regular life. Yes.
Yeah, I know,
right?
It is
different. There's and then I have friends that are like, oh, I have a friend. Her sister is married to a black guy. And she was like, oh, no. She's like, I can't. She's like, it's never the same. She's like, it's not the same. She's like, when you fuck a black dude,
differently. There's a switch. That they flip. They could be the nicest guy in the world, but when you go in the bedroom, they flip that switch and they fucking run that bedroom and they own your ass. And I fucking love it. They're so powerful and dominant and they know what they want and they fucking take it. Just a huge turn on.
Rawstar is a sub.
True.
I love dominant men and so, there are very few men, ethnic men, more dominant than a black man in the bedroom.
What you just said, like, I'm like the opposite because I've always been very submissive to everything. So like I am like the cornerstone like sub. Like there's only a few.
Well, I deal with subs.
He's
all
the only
time.
Person just, I know like that though.
Yeah, I deal with subs all the time. Just normally they don't fuck me.
Yeah. And like yeah, so it's weird for those who like I can't do it as much now because of my neck issue, but there was a lot of things that I used to do that I still haven't told other people that they would just look at me like, you did what now?
Yeah, and I wish I was like that. My whole private sex life is on blast.
Oh,
so I can't really hide what I do in the bedroom. It's on full display for everybody.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, you wouldn't, like, for people who know me IRL, and they see this persona right here, and it's like, oh, you did what now? And it just doesn't fit my character. People who know me, like even
I can
people,
see it.
People who know know me as G, and the people who know me as Rawstar, they don't see that. It's very few differences, but you just well, you see it now because you've been around me for the most of most people,
yeah,
and you've been on this podcast for almost three years. So going on, whatever. So you've heard things. So anyway, I want to go back for a second. Cage fighting, like how?
What do you mean how? You get in a ring and beat the living shit out of another person.
Because when I meant like how long you did it and stuff like that.
I was in executive protection. My whole life, I've trained to fight. I was mm-hmm. enormous. I when I was competitive, I was 6'2", 265 pounds. I've lost over 100 pounds on my transition. So I used to be enormous. I used to look just like Brock Lesnar. Had a beard and everything. Shit. Yeah, I can't grow a beard anymore. I've had all that shit removed. But yeah, I looked just like Brock Lesnar when he had a beard. And I because I protected celebrities all the time and I had trained to fight my whole life, you know, there gets to a point where you spend your life doing something, you want to see if it works. Uh-huh. So I wanted to put it into practice and see if I was as good as I thought I was. So I joined a lot of tough man competitions, local tough man fights, and I would get mm-hmm. in the ring and do tough man bouts. Oh, and shit, I was, and before you ask, I never reached the big leagues. I was never a professional fighter and I wasn't great. I was a, what they call a 50-50 fighter, which means I would either win or lose 50% of my fights. So it was a toss up whether I was going to win mm-hmm. or lose. Okay. But I had a lot of fun, got a lot of injuries that I suffer from. So reminders of my glory days being stupid.
Wow. What a life.
I guess.
No, because like you went from being, you know, a fighter, a protector of people who could be a-holes or not, no a-holes. You know,
most of them were a-holes, yeah.
Protecting them.
Celebrities
then,
and motherfuckers.
And then you were very good at that. And then you say, you know what, time to, you know, transition to transition.
The roughest part was telling my wife.
You said what now?
I did read that. So what?
This year.
What was she like? What? Yeah, like.
In December, we will celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary, 22 years together.
Oh, shit.
We were married about 15 years or so before I came out as transsexual. And I was the 6'2", 265-pound manly. That's what she was attracted to. She's attracted to people like The Rock, Brock Lesnar, Jason Momoa. So she's attracted to huge muscle-bound, manly alphas. And that's what I was. And after 15 years of being this person, we had this huge fight and we rarely fight in our marriage. And I thought this was going to be the one that was going to end up in divorce. So I figured if we're going to call it quits anyway, I might as well put it all on the table and tell her the truth finally. So I told her what I really was and how I felt. And to my shock, she held my hand and she says, if this is who you are and who you need to be, then we're going to do this together. And she's been there every step of the way. She's even an AVN nominated porn director for directing my film.
Wow. That's.
So I have two grandkids.
Don't think, son, you don't think love exists.
A wife for over 20 years. Yeah. I have a semi-normal life on, you know, I guess.
I don't know what to say. Like that's.
Wow. That's a rarity.
Yeah, it's a rarity because like you wouldn't know like how somebody who you're with, you know, will react to that, especially because you know of stigmas.
Well, we're very polyamorous. We believe that you can love somebody without feeling the need to own them. And so many, I mean, jealousy comes from insecurity of feeling like you're going to lose the mate. If you're confident in your relationship and you truly love one another, you're not insecure about your relationship and you don't have jealousy issues. And wanting to have sex with other people is completely normal, natural, and biological. Everyone wants to get some strange. However, we know it's a physical act, it's something fun, like a hobby. And we can go out and have sex and come back to the person we love. And it doesn't change the way we feel about them. It's simply a physical act. And you can love somebody without owning them.
Right.
Yes.
So a lot of people aren't secure enough with themselves to be in an open relationship. But open relationships is kind of biologically normal. We all want to, you know, mess around with others. And if you're a good boy and you're trying to be monogamous, you mm-hmm. are fighting against your nature. And either one, you are successful and live your entire life in denial of your desires, or two, you hold off as long as you can till you get the right temptation and you fail. But either way, you're going against your very nature. You can be a lot happier just being honest with who you are and pointing and going, I want to fuck that person. And then your spouse says, okay, have fun. I'll see you later.
You know?
But if I feel like I own you, then No.
Well, you're a black man. You can't
do that. It's, yeah, no, I, well, she canceled late. I had a date with a woman that was telling me about polyamory, but there were a bunch of other things that were amiss. But no, yeah, no, that's what she said, sounded the same thing. And I was like, wow.
Sorry, I had to adjust my boobies.
I thought you visited the morning that CW. That's why I stopped for a second. I was waiting for something dramatic. Yeah.
Something more? No, I thought you visited. It's funny that this is not the first time I heard this. And I'm like, it makes sense. It makes sense. It's a lot of jealousy comes from insecurity.
I mean, yeah, because you know, depending on what the person does,
and you do stuff like that.
Huh?
I say you do fight against your desires a lot.
Well, yeah, because you know, you get tired of the same old.
I gotta go with this again.
The
first time you tap it, it's like a Ritz cracker, but after you've tapped it about 20 times, it's like a saltine.
Yeah, you're like,
I need a Ritz cracker again. But...
it gets the job done, but you know. Nothing beats a Ritz.
That buttery goodness.
This is that stale old Aldi's brand.
Or like Club Cracker or some shit.
Oh. Wow. I haven't had a Club Cracker in a long time. Is that flashbacks?
Yeah, man.
That's because you're black. That's the white fucking vanilla white bread food, Club Cracker.
No, that's just when you broke and it's on sale. And,
no, that's ramen.
Wait,
ramen what? Noodles and
that's
mac
why
and
we
cheese.
Had Club Crackers because they're cheap.
Yep.
He's like, oh, I was like, shit, you're saying I was poor.
I mean, like that's the only way. The only reason I bought them because you know they were cheap, and you didn't have to like it was like $1 and a quarter, and it wasn't saltine.
Make fun of me. Because I was born with a silver spoon. I was a rich kid.
Oh, really?
But in my defense, my dad had money because he was a fucking hitman. So it's not like I was a stockbroker's kid.
Yeah.
I have a question. What was your first reaction when you found out he was a hitman?
I didn't know until after he died. He kept it very... when I was growing up, I knew he had done some time in Sing Sing. But he had said... It was for Grand Theft Auto. And I was so naive, I didn't know back then you didn't go to a Supermax for fucking Grand Theft Auto. Okay. So I believed him. And then once the internet came out, my dad passed away. I just typed in his name to Google and shit came up. All sorts of articles with pictures of my father. His whole story that he had held from us. I'm like, holy shit, this guy had a life that he kept from us. And it was on full display, all these newspaper articles, all these court cases and everything.
Oh,
yeah. He got caught and sent to Sing Sing for murdering a woman, a wife of a mafioso that was in prison. And he was sent to kill her to send a message that even if you're in prison, you can still be touched. So.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
Yeah. So my dad was in the Bolivian mafia,
and this is why I tried never to make anybody mad at me, because you know
that's wow.
I had a completely cliche upbringing. I grew up in Vegas. My dad was a hitman. My mommy was a showgirl. So it's like so cliche. It's ridiculous.
That's cliche. I don't want like if that's cliche. I want to know what's not cliche because that sounds like.
Well, it sounds like, well, you've seen Casino, haven't you, George? I mean, Rockstar?
Legal name.
Sorry.
That's pretty much was my life. Yeah, Casino.
I've never seen Casino in a long time.
Yeah, so that's how I grew up with money. My daddy was kind of like Sam Rothstein from that movie. So I had money, but it wasn't because my daddy was an accountant or a doctor or a lawyer. Mm-hmm.
I thought
my daddy was just successful because by the time I came around, because he didn't have me till he was 50. Uh-huh. So by the time I came around, he was retired and we just had money. Okay. So I just thought he was successful in life.
Oh,
he said, I'm not going to tell you about money.
Like, he's retired, he's successful, and then, you look up all this stuff and it's like,
oh. Yeah, what? I was told he was a salesman and he was good at his job.
He kind of was a salesman. I mean,
man.
He sold his services, to extinguish people.
I guess we all have some kind of thing that comes out after our parents pass away, but geez.
And I've also done stand-up comedy. I've done stand-up comedy many times. I'm also a stand-up comedian when I have time. The very first comedy stand-up I ever did, I did an open mic night against 18 other upcoming comedians, and I won third place.
That's good.
Very first time trying to do it.
That's real good.
I would go up there, tell tranny jokes, and do celebrity impressions and shit.
Do you normally do it while you're in Kentucky? I don't know how often you're out here and
I have, state. But before COVID, I would travel a lot for work because I would have to go to the expos, meet and greets and appearances and dancing appearances. And when he was free, I would have to go co-host an event every year with Ron Jeremy. We would co-host an event in Florida every year, but now I don't know what I'm going to do since it was canceled this year. And next year I won't be co-hosting with him because that motherfucker's getting 25 to life.
Yeah.
Actually,
got Bill Cosby'd.
Actually got some Ron Jeremy hot sauce in my kitchen.
Don't I have his book somewhere?
You have his book.
He's not Ron anymore. Last few years, he had open heart surgery a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he came out of it not right. And he has kind of dementia and he doesn't know where he is a lot of times. And he falls asleep nonstop.
Well, he has narcolepsy.
Yeah. So when I would host with him, I would have to spend all my time waking him up for fans or helping him find his flip phone.
Wow.
I know Ron because he used to always come to porn star karaoke. And right when I started doing
sleep nonstop.
Like I know there's a few events that we were at that Lucky Star had to wake him up at.
Did you ever see him do inappropriate shit that made you uncomfortable? Oh, so did I. In fact, we went to a strip club when we were doing the event. Mm-hmm. We were club hopping with our crew. And we went to a strip club and one of the young strippers, she had to be in her early 20s, wanted a picture with Ron. So she wanted me to hold the camera while I took a picture of her and Ron. And this poor girl, he groped her, he grabbed her by the pussy, he started grabbing her tits. And she was visibly shaken and very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there taking a picture and I'm thinking to myself, do I need to intervene? Should I do something? Am I being complicit with this? Should I take action? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, he got Bill Cosby, but I witnessed him doing some shit that I was that's gonna get you in trouble, Ron.
I was talking to somebody before, and when the whole case came out, and I said, it's kind of messed up that he might get whatever time, whatever. But I've actually seen him do this to performers and non-performers. I mean, people who just wanted to, say hello, whatever.
Yeah, performers is different, but you don't do that to the public.
Some of them didn't appreciate it either. And I know, the very first time I see him do it to someone who I know didn't like it was at a karaoke bar, and it was time and place one and
When you see it, it makes you very uncomfortable when you witness him getting rapey. And he would get rapey. And it made me very uncomfortable. And I would have to deal with it a lot and have to sit there and keep my mouth shut and not be very comfortable with it. But I knew eventually he would get you get in trouble for it. So I can't say he doesn't deserve what he's getting. It's just sad because this old man, he barely knows where he is. So you're sending an old man to prison that has dementia and narcolepsy.
And I know I've told some people, like, some people always just see it off as like Ron being Ron, but that still doesn't, you know, excuse the narrative.
So, he's just kind of rapey.
He's just a rapey guy.
You know, everybody knows a rapey guy, right?
Everybody unfortunately, has kinda, one.
Yeah.
So this, and that, I mean, like, I met Ron in 08 originally, I think. Yeah, 2008. Yeah,
that was around the time that I met him to do my first event with him, actually.
So
you and I have known him about the same amount of time.
And yeah,
I probably had to be forced to spend a lot more time with him, but yeah, we met him about the same time. But I would have to spend four days a year with him. So
I know back when I first started doing anything in the industry, he was friends with a good friend of mine, very good friend of mine, and like everything that was like adult stuff that I couldn't normally get in because of whatever name status I had back then, my friend would hit up Ron and say, Ron, get Raw in this. And then I'd just get in because of that. So
I should have had like my name or something, good advertisement.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we don't use that. Video.
Oh yeah, we don't do the video. We talking about, yeah.
Oh, you don't post video?
Yeah, we started to. And the reason we didn't is because
it's sensitive. Nobody's gonna see it.
Yeah, you don't have to.
And the reason we don't is because a lot of people don't feel comfortable, or they came, like, we record at his gym, and like lot of people just didn't come camera ready, and so we just say, know what.
No, I mean, God damn, be professional. Fuck. If you have an interview and you know you have an interview coming up, be fucking ready.
Well, a lot of them didn't know that it was gonna be recorded though. So we understood that because we weren't posting them up. So
my publicist Erica told me it was gonna be audio only, but I always come prepared. So I'm like, it doesn't matter if it's gonna be audio only. I'm get ready to perform. I have a job to do.
Yeah, Erica's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'm gonna say this real quick. Everybody, if you need a good PR person, hit up the Run. You have a very professional, awesome, you know, amazing woman, Erica, there, and she does all she can to make sure that you know, we can get your name around and you have everything out there.
So she was Erica is fucking amazing. She's a godsend. In fact, I would still be a normal porn star and not a porn legend if it hadn't been for her. She's opened up so many doors. She's so good at what she does. I mean, I have a hit radio show because of her. I'm well known. I have an IMDb page. I'm on a film on Netflix because of her. I mean, she opens up all sorts of doors.
So. Yeah, no, I was telling people earlier that when it comes to, I told them what I knew about every PR person that I've come in contact with, and I told them, like, when it comes to Erica, like at every event that I go to, you see her there. You see her trying to make sure that, like, behind the camera people, that they get great shots.
Yeah, she takes care of her people. I piss her off intentionally, though. She's so fun to piss off.
So
when she gets mad, she jumps up and down and starts doing this with her arms. It's so funny.
I've never seen her mad. I've only
been to like the last 8 AVNs, and I've been almost kicked out of 7 of the last 8.
Oh, wow. I've never been to AVN.
It's porn prom. It's
the reason
it's a bunch
I know,
of whores that think they're fucking real celebrities.
The reason I don't go to AVNs is the fact that, like, when I do everything else, I am, you know, I'm in there for this reason, or I'm being paid to be there. I have no, like, outside of, you know, being forced to shoot people with a camera, like, okay, y'all can have sex. I just sit here and watch and record and get angles. Outside of doing that, I have no reason to go. And doing that is for someone else, and I'm not, you know, getting really compensated for it. So it's just like, okay, I'm just here. And I don't want to go for that. So I mean,
you
I
get a front row seat. That is compensation.
I have seen a lot of people in my life have sex to the point where I've told to people before. I think I told CWs before. The fact that, like, if I'm not participating, it's kind of hard for me to enjoy it as much.
So you don't watch porn?
And not as much as I used to as a child.
As a child?
High school, college.
What was your access to porn as a child? I did not really have access. I was in high school when we got the internet.
I've had access to porn since I was 7.
What?
Most people are into fetishes because they were introduced to it as children.
Yeah.
Most sexual things that we all like started being a sub in high school when we were younger.
I've been a sub since high school, so that makes sense. I got a confession. So I'm kind of a foot guy. But not, like, I guess creepily so.
Okay, whoa. What is creepy foot guy? What's the difference? You have to tell me the difference in normal foot guy and creepy foot guy.
I like feet, but I'm not like, let me just stare at your toes and, like, I don't know, massage them for hours.
I don't get it. What's amazing about feet?
So here's what it is. My mother had really bad feet, and I used to have to pour out her, like, foot scrub, like, razor blade, like, corn water. And she had, like, several surgeries on her feet and corns, and her feet just looked horrible to me. And then now, yeah, I really love pretty
feet. And thank you for proving my point.
Yeah.
Almost every sexual fetish we're into takes hold when we are young, when we are kids, and we get introduced to it, and it forms a sexual fetish.
That's why I don't have a normal life.
What's normal? What is that? Know. What is a normal life?
What is a normal life now?
Yeah, I wouldn't know what one of those is.
So, changing the subject.
I have a boring life. I don't have a boring life. I don't know what to say, man. I find out new things about you every day.
Shit, you're on your own. Your boy's abandoning you. He's separating himself. I know.
I think that in another part of your life, you make up for those misdeeds, like, very much. So,
Misdeeds. We're talking about misdeeds now.
Forgiving, look, yeah. I love the language. Misdeeds. Yeah.
You gotta get now.
Those misdeeds, I think you're balancing the scales, maybe.
There you go. You've gone from to interviewing trannies, so your life is on the upswing.
We're going on up.
Trannies. Okay. Man. What else? What will be next? Yeah, most of my porn. I love interracial porn, as you guys can probably guess. I like black guys, and a lot of my shit crosses a line and it's race play, and where I'm always the submissive, worthless little white tranny bitch, and there's race play, and the verbiage gets pretty intense, and they don't like that.
See.
And what black men like in the bedroom is not always acceptable on a website.
That is true. We had and a guest.
I try to tell people everybody likes to be called names inside the bedroom. They don't like to be called outside the bedroom. I said every woman I've ever met loved to be called a bitch, slut, whore in the bedroom. But if you call them that at Walmart, they're going to say, "Hold my earrings. We're going to throw down." Since you that have to take a difference between fantasy and reality, and what we like to be called or how we like to be treated when we're having sex in the moment, is 100% not reality of how we like to be treated or what we like to be called outside of the bedroom. And people need to understand that your ideals of society or what is acceptable outside doesn't apply to behind the bedroom door. And many people don't understand, they can't draw that separation line of reality, of society, and what certain people like in the bedroom that is considered taboo or inappropriate, because that's what makes it exciting and good. Sex should be inappropriate. It should be taboo. It should be something that crosses boundaries. That's what makes sex good. That's why so many kids were into the bestiality. They're looking for something that crosses boundaries. Because the sex, we want to cross those boundaries sexually. So a lot of my race play has been widely banned. It's on my website because I have no censorship of my website. And I try to explain to these websites, the men who buy these race play videos, there's only two types, black men and white cucks. Those are the only two people that have ever bought a race play video ever. And they, when they ban it, they're selectively enforcing and banning black entertainment. They're trying to help black men by banning the porn they enjoy. And they're selectively only banning race play videos, removing black entertainment to help black people. I'm like, how can you help a situation by banning their chosen entertainment? And selectively doing it. To me, that's a form of racism. I make these videos for black men. And then they tell me black men are allowed to watch them. Because they have decided for black men that that's unacceptable and we're going to pull it off our site.
I've never thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's a form of racism. If you zero in on a form of entertainment that is made for black men, that is requested by black men, and you say that's not okay, but that's the only kind of entertainment that's not okay on our site, that's fucking racism. This shit is made for black men. It is requested by black men, bought by black men. You can't just fucking ban that shit because you think you're doing good for them.
What do you think, Rostar? That's a good point.
I mean,
that's, because if someone is asking for it, and then you're saying no because we don't think you should have it, but you're like, I'm asking for it, but I can get everything else, else under the sun.
In my opinion, it really buckles down to the
and words. You don't find it unless you're searching for it.
Yeah, the word.
I've said the N-word tons of time in my porn. However, I can honestly say I've never said it once that I wasn't asked to.
And that's the
thing, my partner.
A lot of
by people, my partner that wanted me to.
A lot of people do not like it in general, and that's the thing.
They're not marketed towards those people.
Well, I understand, and that, but that's like what's going on right now, and like because I've been invited to a few meetings where the subject has come up, and this is with I believe the name of the agency right now, and it has come up. Because a lot of people don't even want that anywhere in the in scenes, whatever. And I know a lot of people like want to blackball certain people for.
Let me crush that real quick, because I went to war over this one video that had the N-word in it that they removed from their site. In that same video, I used the following words: shemale, faggot, fag boy, white punk bitch, sissy punk. Those words were all completely fine. Shemale, faggot, fag, to them were fine. The N-word was the only one, because what's in the news, that was not allowed. So they are now classifying that's newsworthy, so that's the only slur that matters. The other slurs to the other groups are fine and acceptable. Once you start censoring porn in any way or any capacity, it's a slippery slope you can't get out of. If you censor one slur, then you're specifically saying that slur is worse than another. So the N-word is now worse than faggot. And then you have all the gay people going.
Can I ask a question via what you just said? And I'm not saying this in any disrespectful way. So, and I know we say TS now, but saying shemale is inappropriate?
Yes, Well,
no, and the reason I'm only asking.
So is tranny though.
Yeah, okay. That's
really... The reason tranny is considered a slur is because when you shorten a word, it sometimes becomes a slur. For example, homosexual is not a slur, but homo is.
Yeah.
Transsexual is not a slur, but tranny is. She male, anything where you attach a man to that word and misgender the girl, like she male, it becomes a slur.
No, I'm only asking because I've seen
I've seen that in many different
places.
I personally don't care. I call myself that shit all the fucking time because I've got a sense of humor about what I am. But my point to them was, if you're going to censor porn for slurs, you're being very selective in the one slur you don't like.
I agree with you because every other slur,
if I said spick or wop, that would have been fine. It is censorship dictated by news cycle. And to me, you should never censor porn. People should always be able to fantasize and like what they like. And in this particular case, it's Black men who are making the request.
And like, you think the thing is like, personally, I don't feel that anyone should refer to anybody as the F word or.
Do you think women should be called bitches?
I don't curse.
How many porns would be left?
No, I'm just saying I don't.
I'm saying is no matter what your feelings are on society, you must understand that your feelings will not coincide to your feelings on porn. And what's
I agree. But the thing
it's different.
Like, my point is like, and I don't know if it's just because of the type of porn that me personally enjoy, but it's kind of like when I do watch. But it's kind of like, you know, sometimes, in my opinion, some of those words aren't necessary.
How about Django Unchained? Have you ever watched that movie?
Never seen
it. You've never watched Django Unchained? Oh, you don't really like Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yeah, the thing is.
Then why have you watched it?
I had no interest.
Here's my thoughts about it. If that word is used to progress the idea that it is a bad word, like Quentin Tarantino depicted in Django Unchained, it's fine. Now, in my porn, I am never, ever degrading a Black man. He is degrading me. I am always the submissive. He is always the man in power. He is always the powerful individual. I am always the submissive and the one that's verbally degraded. So I would never, ever make a video where I degrade a Black person by calling them that name. I use that name in an empowering way because they asked me to call them that. But I would never degrade a Black man with that name. They degrade me with names. Which makes me mad because the entire video that was banned is about a Black man for a half hour straight degrading me and calling me every fucked up name in the book.
It's
I believe it's the way it is portrayed. If you portray it in entertainment with it being a negative thing, that's one way. Never ever degrade a Black man with that word. And I believe in that and I would never fucking do it. They degrade me all the time because I feel it's hot.
It's interesting too, because porn is movies, right?
Yeah,
it's sex, it's just but it's movies. It's entertainment.
It's fake.
It's fake. But we do get upset. We don't get upset when we watch a movie, and there's characters saying all kinds of offensive stuff, but we do get upset. I guess because. I don't know. People have a different feeling about porn.
I feel it's the way something is used, it's context that always creates outrage. If somebody says that word in anger or for the very reason of degrading another human being, it changes the meaning of that word. However, I always use the word in an empowering way because I'm told to say it as they're degrading me as a punk. So in Django Unchained, it is used to show his elevation to empowerment. He is fighting against the very system that has kept him down and showing his empowerment and rise to the top. I believe that every word in the English language only holds power depending on its context and how it's used. Because every word can be used badly if used badly in the right situation. And everything that happens in sex or on screen, it's fake. It's fantasy. It happens. It's entertainment. It's not real life. And what they're doing is trying to censor porn by making it real life. And it's not. That would be like them saying that the N-word can no longer be used in any movie. Period. Can no longer be used in any song. Period. If they censor entertainment, they're just limiting us, period. And censorship is going too far. They need to understand context and the meaning behind these words and attack that. And the people that use these words to degrade or belittle another human being. If a guy calls me faggot when we're fucking, it turns me the fuck on. If a guy calls me faggot at Walmart, it's go time. I mean,
that's a great point. It's a very specific thing. I wonder if it's.
It has to be handled the right way.
It's so many things, I guess, people, when they talk about the porn industry, but don't talk about. And I guess I don't know.
Porn should never be socially acceptable.
It's the kinds of race play that sometimes pops up that people see.
Porn, by its very nature, is designed to be offensive. It is designed to offend every person it's not marketed specifically to, whether it be P-porn, whether it be BDSM, whether it be tranny porn. It will be offensive to whoever's not into that particular fetish. Porn is designed to offend everyone that it's not aimed directly to. So if you're not into that, you will find it offensive. But porn is meant to be offensive by its very nature. It will never be socially acceptable. It is never going to be acceptable where it's not offensive. It is designed by its very nature to be offensive. And if it's not offensive, then it's not porn. It is only well-liked by those people into that particular fetish. Everyone else viewing that particular video will be offended by it. And that's the very nature of porn. It's designed to be offensive.
That's kind of true.
We're designed to shock and offend.
That's kind of true, Rostar. I mean, there's some stuff that, like, they might not be totally offended. You know, people like a lot of different things. But, porn has a market.
I don't know if it's this because of my mentality. It's just like I don't use certain, and I don't think certain people should use certain words toward people in general. And I don't know if it's just because of my view on society as a whole or whatever, but
I guess if it's what is two consenting adults in the bedroom deciding to do that, is it really for us to?
I mean, like, if it's in a bed, I feel like it's not my place.
In porn, you're talking about two people that have agreed to something before the camera starts rolling. We know what we're going to do. We know what we're going to say. We know what the setup is. We both agree to it. We are designing a porn between the two of us. We're both consenting on what it's going to be. Now, the end product, we know what market we're gearing it towards. So the product, we know where our market is, and we will sell it to the people into that particular thing. Porn never tries to market to anybody that doesn't want it. We never try to force ourselves on anybody. You got to come to us. You got to do age verification. You got to look through our shit. You got to pick. You got to choose what you like. So we never force our shit, our offensive shit on anyone. It's there. It was made by two consenting adults. If there's any offensive content, both parties were 100% okay with it. And it's designed to be enjoyed by those that actually enjoy that, not to be viewed by anyone else that are going to be offended by it. And every one of my porns that include that kind of content, I always put a warning in the description of my porn saying this is the kind of thing this contains. And if any of these factors offend you, do not watch this porn. I self-police myself because I know I can create offensive content that could offend people I don't intend to. So I never market it to people that would be offended by it. And I always put a disclaimer, this contains this, this, and this. If you're a consenting adult, if you're a grown-ass man, and you read that description and say, I really want to see that, and you purchase that video, you should be allowed to do so. You've made a choice. I've given you all the information you need. The thing is, you cannot censor porn in any way, because if you say you can't, hashtag me too, you can't call women sluts, bitches, whores. Porn goes away. You can't say faggot, shemale, pussy, punk, any bad word. Porn is about offending people. That's what makes people hard. To see something they're not allowed to do or say, or how they're not allowed to act in public. They need that release of going into their bedroom and exploring their sexual fantasies, knowing it's not real. They're just trying to get their load off. Too many people think, like you were saying, that porn is real life. It's not. It's nothing more than thinking Chris Hemsworth really shoots lightning. It's all fake. It's all fantasy. It's simply a fantasy created for a particular individual. And everybody it's not created for will be extremely offended by what they see.
They're also offended for other reasons too, but you know, but they watch anyway. Some watch anyway. I mean, anything in general. So, you know, because everybody has their own taste on certain things, you know.
Well, so, the thing is, if you find the N-word in a porn offensive, it goes to a point where it creates a bubble of hypocrisy. You can't say one thing's bad and the other thing's okay.
That's why
censorship cannot work in porn, period, ever. The only thing that I believe in is that it be legal porn. And I'm not bagging on because here in Kentucky it's actually legal. What I'm saying is like pedophilia and shit. If it's legal and consensual, rape porn is bad, fucking snuff films, what the fuck? Pedophilia, bestiality, these things are not legal. Therefore, I would never do anything like that. I follow the laws. However, I get very kinky and offensive within the law for those who want me to be. And I have a huge fan base. The reason I was at Urban X Awards is because I would say at least half my fan base is Black men. And that is where my interracial race play videos come from that fan base. Okay. They are the reason I have that fan base. They are avid race play fans. And I tell girls all the time, I'm like, you would not believe how many Black men like that kind of play in the bedroom.
We've had a guest
that
said he was into it.
I'm totally into being called a fucking shemale punk or a little white faggot boy when I'm being fucked by a Black man. That's my thing. I like being degraded when I'm being hollowed out. And a lot of people have their fetishes. My point is you can't make a stance on one without your entire tower falling apart because you're going to be caught in that circle of hypocrisy.
Yeah, so that's why we're all in it. We're all
if it's legal and consensual, leave it the fuck alone. Let it be. Let the people who are into it enjoy it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're dictating for people what they should and should not like, and you're shaming them in a way for what they find sexually attractive. You're shaming them by saying what turns you on is bad and horrible and awful, and we don't allow that kind of shit. You're just shaming people for their sexual desires and likes. And if a Black guy likes to be called the N-word in the bedroom, why should he be shamed and told that it's horrible and he's a fucking traitor to his people? And it should be banned. I mean, what the fuck?
That's pretty fucked up, too.
It's like a girl being called a fucking slut whore in a video, and all of a sudden, Me Too, hashtag Me Too, is attacking her. It's like... But any form of censorship is just going to unravel in porn, because by the very nature, what we do is supposed to be offensive. It's supposed to shock.
The secret, it is shocking.
And the sad part is, the more fucked up and offensive the porn you make is, the better it's going to sell. That's the truth.
That's,
if it's vanilla, that's the very shit,
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about it, is that, the more extreme things go, the more it sells. It really kind of, if you really think about it, really gives you kind of a peek into really what's going on in people's heads.
People are fucked up sexually. Everybody is fucked up sexually. Nobody wants to watch vanilla fucking porn. The way it is, guys start off looking at nude girls, and that does it for them when they're kids. And then they graduate to blowjob porn, and that's their thing. Then they graduate to regular sex, and then that's new and exciting. Then it's anal. And then as they get older, they adapt, and they need a better fix. Everybody evolves into freaks as they get older because they get tired of the normal. So they need, it's kind of like drugs. Every time you take a drug, it has less effect on you. You mm-hmm. have to take more just to get the same effect you had when you first got it. So by the time a guy's in his 40s, he's looking for some sick fucking shit, like donkeys fucking midgets or some shit, because he's seen it all. He's fucking mm-hmm. bored. It doesn't make his dick hard anymore. He needs a rush. He needs something so fucked up and nasty that makes his dick hard again, because he's seen it all. So guys just get used to normal shit and they need something more intense.
I know, but I think it's like, let's say earlier, like when it comes to me, I only watch two in particular types of porn. And it's like, it's kind of hard for me to watch now because I know some people in the industry, and it's kind of like weird.
Yeah, that's always awkward. Watching your friend fuck.
And like now, since I only watch a girl or girl and machine, it's kind of like what I watch is the same. So
okay, girl, that's a good example. Girl, lesbian. Is extremely offensive to a lot of evangelical porn purchasers. Mm-hmm. Anything considered LGBT is highly offensive to them. And they think it's sick and gross. Now, girl on girl is not offensive to most people, but if you're a religious person that believes that being gay is a carnal sin, you're going to go straight to hell, and you hate it, and you hate gay people, it'll become very offensive porn to you. So... Yeah. Girl is basically gay porn. It's just not, it's just different than you. So it's not you being gay, but it is gay porn. And gay porn is very offensive. Like man on man porn offends most men. If they see two big, hairy, sweaty guys fucking ramming each other in the ass. Exactly.
Where the fuck did I go into? What is this?
Exactly. So they're like appalled. They're like, holy shit.
Oh, but God.
They see two girls fucking.
They have fucking beards, man.
I think I've said that before too, because I said this before on the podcast that I was showing two friends of mine around, and one of them was gay, whatever, and another one was straight, and we went to a bar, and like I've been to a lot of bars that are considered gay bars, whatever.
Is that manhole or?
Like I didn't get to it, and the thing is, unlike some clubs in out here that are that have both genders there. Looks like they're back. Let me take that back.
Wait.
They have everybody show up. Everybody show up, but when I got there, it was only males, and I wasn't prepared for that. I thought it was a. How can I phrase this without being offensive?
You wasn't prepared for bro night. That's what I call it.
Walking
in the club and like, oh, it's all dudes.
To him hanging out at gay bars.
Yeah, because there's some that have like that are gay bars, but they have it's inclusive of a lot of people showing up. I think that's a good way to say it. And when I went there, I wasn't prepared for it. But the thing is, where my point I'm getting to is. When I got there, they had a porno playing on the screen, whatever, and it was two males.
He wasn't prepared for
I wasn't prepared for for that. And I won't say that I was offended or, you know, I just was not ready for...
Grossed out?
No, I wouldn't say grossed out. I wouldn't say that either. Because, like, I mean...
People
can love whoever they want to love. I'm not going to deny someone their right to, you know, have fun or entertainment watching whatever. I was just a tad bit uncomfortable. I won't say it like that then. Because I wasn't prepared for that.
Porn wasn't meant for you. You were feeling how you should feel whenever watching a porn that's not intended for you. And it's the same way people feel if they watch my rage play videos, even if they disregard my warnings and they watch it and it's not what they're into, they start feeling extremely uncomfortable in the situation. That all porn is designed for one particular person. They make that girl porn for people like you. It's designed for a particular audience and everybody else should stay the fuck away from it. It's just period. It's not made for you. You don't like it. You don't approve of it. Great. Don't watch it. It's like, if you don't like horror movies, don't fucking watch them. If you don't like race play videos, don't watch them. If you don't like girl on girl, don't fucking watch it. It's not like anybody in porn or entertainment's forcing you to partake. If you partake in it and you make that choice, I want to see it, and then you're offended, who the fuck cares? You knew what you were getting into. You knew it wasn't designed for you. You knew the very concept wasn't what you were into, and then now you're offended.
That doesn't really make that much sense.
It's like, we never market this shit to people that would be offended by it. We never push it on anybody. It's like, if they want it, we will give it to them. But they got to ask for it. They got to consent. They got to ask for that by reading that description, by clicking the buy it. They've got to give us their consent that they're okay with this video. And we're all adults. If an adult with a fucking bank account can click purchase, because my shit is not leaked a lot on the internet because I'm very quick about getting it off. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a lot of my shit's floating around out there. So if they see something that offends them, they specifically went out of their way to do it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. But, well, yeah. Yeah.
But I got distracted for a second because my gardener is in my backyard and I didn't know who was in my backyard. But we have reached the end of the podcast. Please tell everybody where they can find you.
I was having so much fun.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, we went over. I think
we went way over.
Like, it's gonna be a two-parter.
I can't wait for this to hit, and everybody hears all this bestiality shit. They're gonna be like, "What the fuck?"
It's just gonna be blank audio.
I do have to take a second though, because I did look it up, and it is illegal to distribute it.
He's still worried about
it. No, I looked it up. I literally just looked it up while we were. And where I was at, it was a felony, actually.
What's the statute of limitations?
I don't think it was one. So I'm just going to delete that little part. So if y'all want to, I'm going to delete that little part just because, you know, I don't.
Oh, because you think that somebody you sold the video to when you were a kid.
Well, no. It's on audio. So, like, it's kind of like a verbal admission. So, I'm just going to cut that little part up. But,
oh my God, that's like me stealing a car when I was 16 and didn't get caught and admitting it. And then fucking freaking out they were going to come get me.
Hey, you stole it to your friend.
We just went off.
Who's going to come forward and be like, yeah, he sold me that porn with the horse in
censorship,
it.
Censorship, and you're going to censor this podcast.
Only because of one part of
the sentence. The man.
Oh, jeez. Come man. On.
Only because of one part of the sentence. And it's just
on this show, not giving a fuck what you brought up. I was going to talk about anything you want to talk about. And now you're the one being a bitch?
No. I won't take the bitch. It's only because I'm going to pause this for a second so I can say this.
Oh yeah, you don't want your list.
Okay, back record. So,
and we're back.
Yeah. Yeah, we're back. Yeah,
we never left.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. So.
let me start this real quick. But no,
No, we like turn the tables on the host tonight.
Yeah, like this has been a very fun podcast. I mean, we haven't done a podcast this long for a while, and because of reasons,
yeah, gonna be just 45 minutes.
Because of reasons, it's going to be a certain length. But this has been a very fun podcast, and we will need to have Kimber come back on to us.
Yes,
it's so much.
Oh, so you can cut out a bunch of other shit.
It's well, we'll
the redacted episodes.
We just.
Oh God, Kimber is going to come on. That means we're going to have to censor.
We're going to have to censor.
No, because you're not the first person I've had to censor because they said some stuff that incriminated them, and I had to, you know, take it out. So,
what kind of fucking people you have on here?
Huh?
What kind of fucking people you got on here? Shit.
We've had, like, since I believe you're episode 73, 74, I believe, let me see, of the 74 episodes, we probably have had 51 episodes with performers.
And by the way, if anybody's listening to the show, when it does air, if they hit me up on my Twitter and say, hey, I heard the show, I'll send them as much porn as they want.
Boom. Okay.
That includes you too.
Pay to listen.
All right.
And I'm about to say, yeah, it pays to listen. But no, like,
yeah,
no, but like some of our guests, they just said some things that I listened to it and I said, and I mentioned directly, like, hey, I remembered the entire podcast, and I know you said this, and I said, for your career, I don't think this should be in there because of this reason, and I don't want you to face any backlash or have anything hurt your career. So I took it out.
Well, anytime you have me on the show, I am 100% open and honest, and you can ask me any fucking thing you want because I'm scared. I don't have to censor. I'm scared.
But no, you've been a joy and a pleasure. This is really
good podcast.
This is really fun. And like, y'all can't see it, but like this entire, like before the podcast started, she said something that just threw me completely off, and I've been off this entire podcast. So
no.
without further ado, can you tell everybody where they can find you and everything?
Well, yeah, if they're listening to the show and they go to Twitter, Kimber Haven, tell me they enjoyed the show, they'll send them all sorts of porn. And if they want to see the really long stuff, the stuff we were talking about that he's going to cut out, that he's going to censor out of the show, then they can go to kimberhaven.com.
Oh, I'm not going to censor everything else up. Just that little.
You're going to censor the shit that makes you look bad. I see how it is.
You're going to keep
the Kimber shit.
The censorship effect.
He's going to selectively remove all the shit that makes him look bad.
So like, I don't know if you recall what CW just said, but like, we always name every one of our shows the something like, the something effect. And I can't have that on there.
He's like, I can't do that.
The picture of you with your thumbs up.
And I'm gonna call it the censorship effect. But I'm going to see you at the censorship effect. So, but no, you said Kimber Haven at Twitter. You got any other social medias out there?
KimberHaven.com or my OnlyFans, which is Kimber Haven. Basically, if you Google Kimber Haven, you'll get over 25 fucking pages about me. I've been around a long time. I've done a lot of shit.
Okay, so you know, we really quick, tell everybody what to find you really quick.
All right, if you're looking at my like personal shit, Christopher_Willie with an IE_J for the gym and I guess this podcast stuff. CC Fitness LA on Instagram, CC Fitness LA on Twitter, and CC Fitness on Facebook if you still
let's see the guns. Let's see if you can compare.
Oh, I don't have very big arms.
You're all about fitness. Jeez.
Yeah, I'm not about arms. At least
an arm as big around as a tranny. Jeez.
I mean, you work out a lot.
I don't. I haven't lifted a weight in 8 years.
You haven't lifted a weight in 8 years? Well, fuck. Then
I've been on female hormones. What's your excuse?
What's my
Better hit the gym harder. You need to hit the gym harder and go. I mean, you know, I need to work out to be bigger than
I do a lot of back. I do a lot of. I don't know.
I do a lot of work on my back.
I'm starting to do more curls because I want my arms to be bigger. But
if you want to follow me, I'm Rawstar RAWSTARR on Twitter and on Instagram. We are the Burbank Misfits on Instagram, Burbank Misfits on Twitter, BurbankMisfits.com. And everybody on Facebook to see everything that we do. I do editing, graphics, photography. CW does fitness, he does photography, he does everything else. Please hit us up and please make sure to tune in next week. Have a great day.